Extra, extra. Hot off the presses. It's Scoop Ed Longwa with the Catholic Sentinel.
There you go. Well, he is the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper. And when you read his stories, you will never find the version of the verb to be in his writings. Am I right about that, Ed Longwa?
I try my best, thanks to my college professors.
I'm a quick learner. You told me that last time we talked, so I took that to heart. How about that? So,
yeah, thanks for remembering.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're a bike rider. This weather the last couple days, not too conducive for getting out there and riding.
No, I've got to put on what I call my full battle gear, all the waterproof stuff I have.
Oh, man, we'll be careful out there. I know it's tough going these last couple of days.
Yes.
Well, Ed, yep. In your latest Viewpoints column, you write about Dorothy Day. Now, as you note in your story, Day's birthday was on November 8th, and if still alive, she would have been 124 years old. And maybe I'm like many Catholics or just the public in general who know the name Dorothy Day, but maybe not the impact of her life. So I guess would I be wrong, Ed, if I compare Day to, say, a Saint Mother Teresa, but really an American version and with a little bit more activist edge, or am I off base there?
Well, I think Pope Francis thinks exactly what you just said, and maybe our parents and grandparents would have understood Dorothy Day that way too. Really, David, in the 1950s, 1960s, she was in the Catholic Sentinel almost every issue. She was quoted about social issues, but also had this deep spirituality. She blended a very traditional faith, a big fan of daily mass, praying the rosary, but also stood up for workers and, of course, was key in founding all these houses of hospitality and inspired the college students who began our own Blanche House of Hospitality via Father Francis Kennard, who was a social action priest in the 50s and the mentor for those students. Dorothy Day was his model, and she had this effect all across the United States and was even respected by many of the hierarchy. Even though her vision was a little controversial in some days, you know, she started out as a communist, David, but in the late 1920s, she had a change of heart and became deeply Catholic and decided that there was always this controversy, is she communist or not?
Right.
And so she often gave lectures about, you know, Catholicism is the way, not communism, to bring a just society. A very interesting life, and debate followed her all the way through. And by the way, David, she spoke in Western Oregon three times.
No kidding.
Yeah, the first time was in 1947 at Immaculata Academy there, where Immaculate Heart Parish is now. And she spoke about that topic, the Catholic versus the communist answer to labor's problem. And then she spoke in 1952 at the Benedictine Women's College there at the Mount Angel, at the Abbey at Mount Angel of the Benedictine Women. In 1960, she stayed and spoke at Holy Rosary Parish about dispelling fear over nuclear attack, that we shouldn't walk around afraid all the time. A very timely message for right now.
So do you have stories in the Catholic Sentinel archives about that?
I do. That's where I found out all that information, by going to our archives via CatholicSentinel.org. The Sentinel covered those not very rigorously, but she definitely got in. And I'll tell you, almost every issue from the 1940s until about 1970, she was there in the Sentinel.
Wow, that's great. Speaking with Ed Longwa, managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, if you go online, catholicsentinel.org, or if you get the hardcover, the latest edition there, you can read Ed's Viewpoints article about Dorothy Day. So what was it about Day, Ed, that resonated back in the day? Because again, you're talking back in the 50s, and I don't know what the, obviously wasn't around back then, at least as a someone who would remember this, but what resonated with Catholics at the time?
Well, I think the initial appeal, David, and this is even going back to the 1930s, that this was a communist who became a Catholic. There was a fascination value with her because of that turn of events. And because she had lived a bohemian lifestyle in the 1920s, there's controversy about her because she indeed did have an abortion right after World War I and had a child out of wedlock. But in 1927, she had this great urge thinking of her childhood memories of Catholics she had known to join the church and have her own daughter baptized. And so that switch made her a fascinating figure. And then her association with a French peasant thinking writer named Peter Morin, who was a fan of hospitality houses and serving the poor and creating a just society. Their partnership became strong. They started their first house of hospitality on the Bowery in New York City. And that took the world by storm, because what was happening then, of course, was the Great Depression.
Right.
So she seemed to be just the right person for that moment, David. And people even began talking about her as a saint back then, and she always eschewed that idea.
Well, I love what you write in your viewpoints, and you say, quote, "We advocate for Day's sainthood cause in part because we know saints are not goody two-shoes, and in part because sainthood will draw her thinking from the margins of church life into its heart." I love that sentence.
I hope that does happen. And it seemed to be happening in the 1950s, but, you know, things come and go, and I think it's good for us to remember Day. And the hierarchy in New York City is doing their best to try and move her sainthood cause along. Especially, they even talk about that abortion, and she later talked about that as the greatest tragedy, the greatest mistake of her life.
Right.
So here we have a woman who experienced that, who speaks out about its problems. Probably a good saint for our time.
And as you mentioned, too, in your viewpoints, that Pope Francis is looking at this.
Yes, when he came to the United States, some years back, he mentioned her as one of the great Catholics of the United States. And so you have the Pope really aware of her as an agent of respecting others, a deep respect for human life. There's so many great stories about her just respecting other people as Christ himself. That was really her motive, was every single person, no matter if they're poor or mentally ill, smelling bad, this person is Christ himself and should be welcomed and treated as such.
Yeah, and she even says, as you mentioned here in your viewpoints, is that, you know, she's not interested in becoming a saint. She just wants people to action.
She does, and her own example, too, was another way to inspire people to action. On these speaking tours all over the country, David, she's written about, she took the Greyhound bus everywhere. And no fancy suitcase for her. She had a brown paper bag with whatever she needed in it. And she wore cast-off clothing. And, you know, she looked like everybody's idea of a grandma back then. And I think as she grew older, that added to the appeal. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in the 60s and 70s, when the counterculture movement came, they embraced her. And that, in some ways, they may have tried to turn her into something she was not.
Right.
But they also had some ideas about her that I think were helpful as far as nonviolence was a big part of her movement, pacifism, which became very problematic during World War II.
Sure.
But she stuck with it. And then by the 1950s and 70s, bishops were advocating for her view of nonviolence and pacifism.
Right. Is there anybody out there today, Ed, that you can think of that might compare to Dorothy Day?
Well, we have some amazing people around right here in Oregon, I would think. There's a Catholic worker house in Eugene with some people. There's a woman here in Portland named Beth Burns who runs a place called Pair Mentor for homeless people who looks to Dorothy Day as a mentor and deeply tries to live out that life of respecting each human being and living simply.
Yeah. I love that.
So I think they may be everywhere.
Yeah. Ed Longwa, managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, his viewpoints on Dorothy Day. Great reflection, Ed. I loved it. And thank you for reminding us of Dorothy Day and what she meant to our Catholic culture back in the day and how it reflects on us today.
Thank you, David. We should all remind, we stand on her shoulders from Blanche House and many other ministries right here in our state.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Ed. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Same to you and your listeners.